The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Want the real story behind the sound bites and headlines? Let's find the facts. Remember, it's not a conspiracy theory if it's the truth. You are not paranoid or confused. You just need to know.
Good morning, everybody. Kip Kiefer back from a quick junket out west. A joyous weekend for me. I know in talking to some people that listen to Need to Know, and I appreciate each and every one of you who joins us weekly or as many times as possible here on TKR. Of course, the show runs on the network all during the week. I think it airs four or five times, so a lot of chances to catch it, and you can always get it on demand by downloading the TKR app or however you receive Tony Curry Radio. So plenty of opportunities, but I really appreciate folks giving me feedback. And, I had one say, you know, I understand that it's your broadcast and you can kind of go off in whatever direction that you feel like talking about. Kind of the beauty of podcasting. You don't have a program manager standing over your shoulder and saying, no, this week you need to talk about this or that. But this guy said, you know, sometimes when you get into the personal stuff, it's not as compelling for me as when you really dig into issues. So I'm going to mention that caveat when I tell you that this weekend, I'm going to take a little personal liberty here, jetted out on Friday to Las Vegas to attend my 5-year-old grandson's birthday party. It was at this, and I know all of you that are younger that have children are all well aware of this. A lot of you that may even be in your early adulthood, and grandparents, I'm sure a lot of people have been exposed to these facilities that I have not been. But this birthday party was at this gigantic warehouse sized facility with all kinds of trampolines and bouncing mats, and I mean they just turned all these 5 and 6 year olds loose, and it was just a frenzy. There was probably hundreds of people in this place. But it's come a long way since the days of when my children, you take them to McDonald's and let them climb around the apparatus there, the little tubes and the moderate slides. They've got these massive, gigantic slides in this place, for the bigger kids. They have, the places that you can launch on the mats and do these flying through the air, slam dunks on basketball goals, laser tag. I mean, this thing was just, it's hard to even describe. I knew that there were these gymboree kind of things. I've been to like little kids' birthday parties at those where they've got a lot of different attractions, but really the things that are available in this day and age are just unbelievable, and I can't even imagine what the next generation of facilities and entertainment operations geared toward kids, and no telling how much these places make on these birthday parties. My daughter-in-law really blew it out, had a private room. I think they invited 15 or 16 kids, so all their families come, of course. These are little guys, 5 and 6 years old. But anyway, that was a joyous experience. And then just having family time out there with the extended family, getting to spend time with my new granddaughter, who is just 4.5 months old, already trying to be vocal, not so much in words, but shrieks and babbling. She's a Kiefer. She knows she's got to develop early to get her 2 cents in, or she's going to get left out. She is already really anxious to communicate, very animated, just adorable. First girl in our family, first Kiefer female since 1961 when my sister was born. We had a long string of boys in between that, all the different members of the family. So it's just delightful to have darling little Aria in our family now, and that was, I saw her on the day she was born. I hadn't been back since April, so it was a joyous weekend for me, and I just thought I would preface my remarks there. And I was just telling Tony before the show, the grand poobah proprietor, developer, creator of Tony Curry Radio, I experienced a miracle situation, kind of like last night when we had a huge family dinner at 4 o'clock Las Vegas time. And it was great, but we had to go right to the airport afterwards. We had a 7:20 flight out of Las Vegas back to Birmingham, direct flight, which, God bless America, that's fantastic. You don't have to change planes. Got on board, pulled out my iPad, was able to log on right at halftime. The Buffalo Bills and Baltimore Ravens playing last night. And, you know, I know we take things for granted these days, and we've had the ability somewhat to follow things from the air. But to me, just to be able to push a couple buttons and watch the game at 35,000 feet while traveling back was just an amazing experience, because the game was so good, the level of play so high. Many of you who follow me on my other activities know that a big part of my my activity schedule every week is college football. We're full scale into that now, a couple of weeks in. I've got a couple of radio shows on the weekends on WJOX here locally in Birmingham. And you can also, of course, wherever you're listening, you can stream those programs just by going to Jocks 94.5 on your personal speakers, and they'll fire it right up. Or there's all kinds of other ways to stream it. But so the boundaries are kind of gone. It's not even local radio anymore. It's available just about on demand any place in the country live on Saturday and Sunday mornings. But college football is the focus on those shows. And most of our focus on the Starting Lineup, our television show, which features Tony and I as the hosts, and includes my son, Case Kiefer, who I just got to spend a lot of great time with in Vegas. He is probably the fastest rising superstar in the sports writing world right now, covering the Las Vegas Raiders, who won yesterday, by the way, in their opening game against the New England Patriots. This is, I promise, not going to be a sports and personal program. I'm just telling you my weekend activities and setting the stage for what I do want to talk about in just a moment. But watching that game at 35,000 feet, not just getting updates, watching the broadcast, listening to Mike Tirico and Chris Collinsworth, who were like a couple of kids in a candy store, giddy, because this game was so riveting and so back and forth, so many monster big plays, so many superstars on the field. Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen, these two guys are quarterbacks that define the position. These guys are blood and guts. These guys are capable at any time of making the most astounding plays. It's almost like watching some kind of, you know, death-defying circus act back in the day, where these guys just do the impossible. Derrick Henry at 31 years old, still rumbling for 30-plus yard runs. He had three of them in one game. He had never done that in his career, which has been phenomenal. I remember when he was at Alabama and in a meaningless bowl game that they end up losing to Oklahoma. As a freshman, he made his debut basically in that bowl game. He had played some mop-up time that year, but this guy is one of the most phenomenal running backs we've ever seen. They showed a little bit of his training video. He's basically chained to railroad ties, running up hills, steep hills, and he's not running even in a straight line. He's kind of zigging and zagging while he's doing that. If you have any idea how hard that is to do with nothing, with dragging nothing, just your own feet and torso and head, this guy is just an absolute freak and amazing. He was rumbling all over the field. Lamar Jackson was ripping off big runs. But every time Buffalo got behind, they would just fight back, and they just kept it alive. Buffalo's got the most maniacal, crazed fans probably in the whole league. But So many of them even gave up with about 5 minutes left when Baltimore went back up 15 points. People were leaving a Buffalo game, which is insane if you've watched the last few years of the season. And of course, Derrick Henry, after having that a monster game, was stripped of the ball, which completely turned the game in the last 4 minutes. Buffalo scored to cut it down to one score. Baltimore did hold them off on a two-point conversion, but the bottom line was they got the ball back. Their defense stopped Buffalo or stopped Baltimore, and Buffalo went right down the field, got in for a close field goal, but did not want to leave any chance of being heartbroken. They didn't stop the clock before their kick. They let it run down to just the final seconds, and you talk about drama, running a new kicker that's only been on their team for 48 hours because of an injury to their other kicker, and Matt Prater, who's been kicking in the NFL for a lot of years, he's 42 years old, didn't even have a job 3 days ago, runs on the field with the clock running. They get the ball snap with 4 or 5 seconds. His foot makes contact with the ball at the 3 second mark, a fire drill field goal right down the middle. Buffalo does the impossible, comes back and wins 41-40. And I'm watching the game and listening to the play-by-play and experiencing that while 35,000 feet in the air, heading back from a family dinner in Las Vegas to my own house, where I arrived a little after midnight. It's just one of those days where you go, wow. You know, I know people take for granted all the things that we've seen in our lives. And I'm finally at the preface point, folks. So I'm proud. If you're still with me, thank you. But where we've progressed, and that's the word that kept ringing in my head. We've progressed to this, you know, things that we take for granted, that you can eat dinner with your family 2,500 miles away, get on a piece of transportation, conduct yourself like you're sitting in your living room. I've got a iPad Pro, which is really good size. I had my headphones. I was listening to the game and watching the game. I mean, to me, I have had a sense that there's miraculous things that we find routine, and we've made that progress to a point where it's just, you know, a part of life. And I'm finding it remarkable to reflect today that after all that, right back in my own environment and slept in my own bed, quite a whirlwind weekend and day, getting a chance to spend time with my grandchildren and my family. It's just a miraculous time to be alive. And I think everybody needs to step back every once in a while and appreciate this era that we are privileged to live in, and with thoughts of what's ahead. And what's ahead is kind of interesting, because from all these miraculous things that we take for granted now and are just routine, you know, I wonder about what's coming next. Because if you look at artificial intelligence, how much of a dominant force is that going to become? How much of a force has it already become? It's so easy, I can even do it. You know, I feel like the old Progressive commercial where it's so easy, a caveman can do it. But I'm a de facto caveman in this era, because, you know, it's an interesting lifespan in my time of going from basically a life with very few real astounding developments in technology and you know, just the whole computer age, and to watch my children grow up in that and be proficient at it just because of when they were born. You know, in my era and my time, that didn't happen until my adulthood, basically. So it's been really interesting. But the word progress is what I thought about this morning as I marveled at my day yesterday. And here I'm right back in my own environment on TKR, and really delighted to be here as I am every Monday. But the word progress has been kind of hijacked when you look at what's the modern day definition of that. The root word progress, progressive, different than progress. And let's talk about progressives a little bit this morning, because I keep watching with wonderment this president who is, again, a controversial lightning rod figure. Yes, he's brash, he's outspoken, he is heavily conceited. There's no question about that. Even arrogant to a point of being self-aggrandizing. He had the all-time speech this morning in the White House at a reception, talking about all these different things that he's ready to implement. But he's really bolstered right now by really defying this progressive movement. And let's talk about that just that word first. Progress, of course, means taking steps in a definitive direction to develop for development. And development is vague because it is something that's progressive, really progress. And you look at the agenda of this leftist progressive movement in this country, which is much more prevalent than any of us want to admit or acknowledge, because it is in all kinds of different areas in this country that you wouldn't, I mean, New York, San Francisco, you know those, Los Angeles, Portland, Oregon, very progressive. But I talked about a couple of weeks ago the whole playing with words and the fact that they recognize, and in the dictionary, after the definition I just gave you about progressive meaning, steps in a direction to accomplish some kind of goal. The second definition of progressive now is a movement, usually a liberal movement, to affect change. But is that the root word, progress? Are these people really progressive? I mean, let's talk about the progressive movement. And well, let's talk about the way they use words to, and that one is probably as ingenious as any one that they've employed, because not only now is that a definition, the second definition in the dictionary of progressive, but it to me does not indicate progress when you look at carefully the agenda these people are trying to be progressive to achieve. And as I've been telling you regularly on this program for a long time, the movement's goal is not to create progress in terms of this country and better lives for its citizens. The progressive movement is to ensure whatever needs to happen, whatever means necessary to retain power and control politically, because power and control politically equates into untold wealth. When you control the government and you control the greatest growth enterprise ever conceived, the American taxation system, you are sitting on an absolute incalculable fortune of money to continue to ensure that you will retain that power and control. And that's exactly the goal of the progressive movement. They're trying to progress in the direction of never having to yield control of the government, because who's in charge of the government is who is in charge of the untold wealth that it produces. And, again, I think we have been intentionally pitted into this Republican Democrat thing, which is, the last century's rivalry and adversarial situation. The difference between now and then is, if you were a Republican and your neighbor was a Democrat, at the end of the day, you had love and respect for your country and that and its citizens, your fellow Americans. And even if you had disagreements of how to get there, you had the common bond of everybody loving their country and supporting, in times of crisis, Americans. I don't, I, there, in World War II, when this country just rallied as one from a sleeping giant that had such a horrible experience in World War I, that America, said, Europe, settle your own problems. There was a huge movement in this country to stay out of World War II. And imagine what the world would be like if that mentality had won out. But if, whether you were a Republican or a Democrat, when Franklin Roosevelt, a Democrat president, called the country into action, everybody responded. And I mean everybody. Not only did we send troops, young men, our best and most, our prized treasure, our future, to fight in this war. It was on two fronts. Remember, we had to fight in the Pacific against the Japanese, who had been aggressively gobbling up territory and probably the most evil regime in human history. You talk about Hitler and the Soviets and some of the barbaric rulers of the early years of the war of civilization. But the Japanese in that period of the 1930s basically completely overrunning China, most of Asia, and a lot of the Pacific were absolutely, and we don't think of the Japanese in these terms today, but the Japanese were absolutely vicious and brutal and, just senselessly murdered hundreds of thousands of people during this expansion effort that they made. And for us to step into that conflict after Pearl Harbor and also at the same time liberate Europe in a war against the most evil nation and leader probably ever in the face of human history, for the American army and military to be able to do that is exceptional. But don't forget, in World War II, it wasn't just the men, the young men that were mobilized. It was every American citizen. There was rations and restrictions, and you had to turn the lights off at certain times. I mean, there was all kinds, everybody was involved in the conflict. Women who had never traditionally been much part of the workforce had to go to work to man the factories and crank out the incredible amount of material needed to win these wars. We switched from a consumer product economy to just a war machine producing, behemoth. Car factories were cranking out tanks and military vehicles, airplane manufacturers, Boeing and others, warplanes by the dozens. I mean, this country mobilized with its entire population. And again, it had nothing to do with party lines. You were an American. We were all in this together. And I don't know in this day and age if we would, I know we wouldn't, unless maybe it was like extraterrestrial invasion. That might be a unifying factor. But the bottom line is the country is different now because you've got the absolute determination of these progressives, which every time I hear that term, it makes me cringe, because the progress that they are envisioning is just retaining that power, as I just said. We talked about a couple weeks ago the insanity of word usage, and props again to this movement to use the word progressive. Makes it sound like they're doing something productive, and in their mind, retaining power is the ultimate thing that they can do. But we talked about the term democratic socialist and how ridiculous that is, because it's a contradiction of terms, and that's what they're Mamdani, who is running for mayor of New York, Bernie Sanders, others in the Democrat Party, identifying themselves as Democrats, democratic socialists, which, again, are two completely opposite things. I used the term here a few weeks ago, if you missed it. That's like declaring yourself a carnivorous vegan. Vegan, I mean. I don't know why I always want to say vegan. I guess because Vega is V-E-G-A. But a carnivorous vegan, or a violent pacifist. I mean, you can't title yourself something that's a complete contradiction of terms, but that's the insanity. And what are progressives for now? You had Donald Trump today talking in the White House about the phenomenal success of mobilizing our National Guard and taking emergency action to have them have presence and patrolling the streets of Washington, D.C., because the crime situation had gotten completely out of hand. There had been more homicides in Washington and D.C. in the first part of 2025 than ever before. And you had a lot of leaders saying, well, the statistics don't indicate that. Crime's not a problem. Well, crime had become such a problem that carjacking has just become routine and it's just shrugged off. How scary if your daughter is leaving work and you're living in Washington, D.C., your 17 or 18-year-old high school daughter gets in her car and is immediately surrounded by a bunch of thugs that, you know, mostly teenage thugs, which is really the scary factor of how young the crime wave of the people perpetrating it in Washington had become. Carjackings were up, you know, so I don't have the figure, but it was just skyrocketing. You had a government employee that was working for Elon Musk previously with the Doge people try to intercede when a young lady's car was being carjacked, and they beat him so severely he had a fractured skull and a serious concussion. Lucky he did not die, but this is a federal employee that a bunch of street thugs nearly beat to death. The example that really stands out was last year when an Alabama graduate running back, football fans, I remember Brian Robinson from the Tide, was drafted by the Washington Commanders. After training camp, his first couple of days in Washington, he had a nice new car, of course, being a rookie draft pick for the professional football team there. He walked into his car, and he was mugged and shot. And missed a lot of his first season, thankfully, even shot in the upper chest, but more, I guess, in the below the shoulder area, but he was still shot. This is a guy that's a NFL draft pick just in Washington for a couple of days. I mean, crime was just so rampant, so out of control. You couldn't, the last time I went to the Capitol, it was filled with homeless people walking around talking to themselves. There's just a lot of mentally ill people walking the streets and panhandling constantly. And it's not just, hey, can you spare $5 or can you got any change? Now they're aggressive. They follow you. They badger you. It just needed to be cleaned up. Trump said enough is enough when a federal employee was assaulted so severely and for the last 30 days has deployed a National Guard unit. And let's face it, why is there presence on the streets? The progressives hate it. We're militarizing our cities. This is a Trump tactic. He's going to call the military at any time that he wants to take control of these cities, which, of course, mostly are run by extremely liberal progressives. There's nothing progressive about crime and mayhem on the streets and people being afraid to even go out to dinner or go to a show or a ball game. It's just intolerable, and it's happening because this progressive movement basically endorses crime by these soft on crime policies. They don't believe in incarceration. So somebody, there are people that have literally killed people on the streets walking around. There are people that have been convicted numerous times of armed robbery, of, you know, assault, all the things we just talked about. And it's because it's this attitude that it's somehow not the criminal's fault that they're in this position, that, you know, they're desperate and doing things that are prompted by our society. But that, if that's true, it's their policies that are perpetrating that, because in this system of them being just so oriented to retain power, guess what the American citizens get in that? Absolutely nothing. That's why you're having all this poverty and desperation, and the other part of it is it's mental illness. A lot of these people walking around perpetrating these crimes, compiling these giant rap sheets simply to be let go with cashless bail, the worst idea ever. They're arrested, they're brought in, but they're turned loose like a day later. And you had a murder in North Carolina, in Charlotte this weekend. A young lady, 23 years old, Irina Yuruva, who had just legally immigrated from Ukraine, got out of that war-torn country to come to America. I'm sure her initial reaction was, "Thank God I'm in a country now that I don't have to worry about a drone blowing up my house overnight or missiles coming in." And she only lasted in our country a few weeks in Charlotte. She was on public transportation last week and was stabbed to death completely senselessly. She was doing nothing. She was stabbed to death by a guy who has 14 different offenses on his rap sheet and has been classified and treated previously as being mentally ill. Yet this guy's walking the streets, stabs her to death. It's intolerable, folks. It's insane. And you've got the progressive movement is for these people, not for you and your wife and your daughter and your family. They are concerned about the rights of these mentally ill, chronically, just untreatable criminals. And it doesn't make any sense. It's just like when the borders were wide open, that was another policy that the progressive movement was for, bringing in tens of millions of people, many of whom were some of the worst miscreants in their particular home countries and societies. All of these gang members coming in, setting up shop in our country, more public safety nightmares. The cartels in Mexico, who became just worth billions of dollars with the trafficking of people across, of getting people across the border, paying, demanding top money for that to happen, of basically illegally smuggling people in, seizing a lot of people and transporting them to slave labor positions, young women put into the forced life of a sex worker, human trafficking, and even worse for the cartels. And now it's even as bad as it's ever been, because with Trump coming in and basically shutting down the border and taking away the cash cow for them of smuggling people across, which I'm sure they're still engaged in and finding ways to try to usurp the system. But now the emphasis on getting fentanyl and other illicit drugs into the country is turned up, because that's still the profit center they have. And they've been ingenious in other times of, even they've got the money to dig these sophisticated underground tunnels for smuggling things in that have been largely discovered. But there's probably quite a few still there, because there are still an alarming number of fentanyl deaths. And, imagine losing your child. You can train them and coach them up as best you can. But they go to a party and a guy goes, "Hey, have one of these," tell them it's ecstasy or something that's supposedly not harmful, but it's laced with fentanyl. I mean, there's been tens of thousands of American young people and even older people on thinking they're taking legitimate medications killed. This is all part of the progressive movement, because they won't put a stop to it. They don't care. It's their interests that matter, not the interests of the American people. That's not progress to me. That's not progressive in any sense of the word. And homelessness, rampant, ridiculous. Their answer is to give homeless people money. Well, giving them money does not get them into shelter. They stay on the street and they spend that money on drugs. A lot of the people are mentally ill that have committed themselves to living on our city streets. Here in Birmingham, the other day with one of my business associates, we were driving through Midtown Birmingham and saw a number of people living out on the street. It's really astounding, and it's really shameful in this country of so much wealth and so much opportunity that we live in a society now where so many people are wandering around on the streets committing crimes, and you know they are victims of a society that's basically turned their back on them. We need to be helping these people, even if they don't want help, but certainly got to get them off the street for the benefit of our cities and everybody else. And Trump has said, you know what, we've got all these guys, you know, training and on active duty that are in the National Guard. Let's deploy them. Let's use them. But the progressives are screaming, we don't want arm presence on our streets. But now, after the 30 days, Mayor Bowser in Washington has declared, and she's as liberal as they come, she has said, this is really working. Major crime, violence is down. Restaurants and entertainment facilities are reporting that their business has flourished in this last month. Why not deploy these people that our federal government is paying to be on standby for national emergencies? Crime-riddled streets, homicides, armed robberies, carjackings. That sounds like an emergency to me. Why not have that presence? They're not doing direct policing. They are just a presence on the street to allow the police to do that policing. And at the same time, the progressives, of course, oppose ICE, immigration enforcement, getting people deported from the country that don't belong here. You know, it's a country, you hear the hypocrisy of the progressive movement. It's rule of law. Nobody's above the law. Well, they apparently think they're above the law by saying that illegals should not be bothered just because they're here and they have already created families here and some of them have set up shop for a few years. If they're here illegally, if they're here without being processed, they're not immigrants. Immigration, as I've told you 1,000 times, is a legal process. Anybody in this country that is not legal, that has not gone through the proper registration, that is here illegally, is committing a crime. And in a country with law and order and rule of law, you can't pick and choose which laws you're going to enforce. If you don't like the laws, elect people that will change them. That's how the country works. But we are not in a country where it's multiple choice on what laws that we're going to adhere to and what laws that we're going to enforce. Because if that's your policy, it's chaos. It's not. It makes no rational sense to have a system where you pick and choose what laws to enforce based on your political ideology. If that's progressivism, I don't want any part of it, and I hope you don't, because that just doesn't make any freaking sense. You can't choose the laws that you're going to enforce. If they're on the books and they are the law, and people that are here are not here legally, I don't care, you know, what their situation is. They need to go, and they should have gone on their own now, because under this administration, if you go voluntarily, they'll provide your flight. They even give you, I think, $1,000 or something to travel on, and you can legally apply to come back here as an immigrant. But if they go round you up and take you away and deport you, you are never allowed to come back here. So it doesn't make much sense to me that you have the uprisings like in Los Angeles earlier this year, where people parading around with Mexican flags in America protesting our policies. First of all, if you're here illegally and you're protesting anything, you need to go. See ya. Bye. I'm sorry. It might sound like I'm unsympathetic, but people that are breaking the law don't get special exemptions from a government that is sworn to uphold the law. It's part of the oath any of these people take. And upholding the law means enforcing the laws as they are. If you don't like them, change them. Progressive, my you know what. What we're seeing from this far leftist movement is a grab for power and control permanently. They can't conceive of a country everything Donald Trump's for, they're against. Trump wants to now deploy the National Guard in Illinois and Portland, Oregon. Chicago is a mess. Chicago needs militarization in terms of law enforcement because these gangs are operating as military units. That's why you have on Labor Day weekend 59 shootings in Chicago and 8 fatalities, because it's a war. It's militaristic turf wars. It's these gangs that have, you know, leadership, people at the top going on down to the privates and the lower level soldiers, and they're out shooting and killing each other for turf. And a lot of innocent Chicagoans are getting in the line of fire. So it needs to be fixed. We need to get this under control. And it's a military operation in these cities. I said it back in 2017. Why don't we deploy our assets, our resource, our National Guard troops who were already compensating and training? Let's put them on the streets and get this under control in Los Angeles and San Francisco and Portland and Chicago and other blue-run cities where progressivism is turning it into hell holes in some of the best places in America. So that's enough on that subject. Today's word, progressive, and think about what you think that definition is, because if you are referring to these people as progressive, it's a contradiction of terms, just like democratic socialist, which is absolutely ridiculous because they mean two completely different things. I'm Kip Kiefer. That's what I think you need to know this week. Take that for what it's worth. But as always, I urge you to think about things on your own. Don't be influenced by the loud voices, including mine. I like to give you things to think about. I'm not here to tell you what to think, and that's what Need to Know is all about. Thanks, everybody. Have a great week, and football season is here, so all is right with the world. We will talk to you again, this time next Monday, here on TKR.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.